Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, Chapter 17, Pastimes of the Lord in His Youth, Texts 131 through 140. I will recite 131 to 139 myself, and then we will chant 140 together. Returning home, all the citizens began performing Sankirtan. But because of the order of the Qazi, they were not carefree, but always full of anxiety. Understanding the anxiety within the people's minds, the Lord called them together and spoke to them as follows. In the evening, I shall perform Sankirtan in each and every town. Therefore, you should all decorate the city in the evening. Purport. At that time, Navadvip was composed of 9 small cities, so the words Nagare Nagare are significant. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to perform Kirtan in each of these neighboring towns. He ordered the city decorated for the function. In the evening, burn torchlights in every home. I shall give protection to everyone. Let us see what kind of Qazi comes to stop our Kirtan. In the evening, Lord Gaurasundar went out and formed 3 parties to perform Kirtan. Purport. This is a scheme for performing Kirtan in a procession. During Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, one party was composed of 21 men, 4 people playing mridangas, 1 leading the chanting, and 16 others striking kartals, responding to the leading chanter. If many men join the Sankirtan movement, they may follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and form different parties according to the time and the number of men available. In the front party danced Haridas Thakur, in the middle party danced Advaita Acharya with great jubilation. Lord Gaurasundar himself danced in the rear party and Sri Nityananda Prabhu moved with Lord Chaitanya's dancing. By the grace of the Lord, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has elaborately described this incident in his Chaitanya Mangala, now known as Chaitanya Bhagavat. Because Lochandas Thakur also wrote a book by the name Chaitanya Mangal. So in order to avoid confusion, Vrindavan Das Thakur's book Chaitanya Mangal was later renamed by the devotees as Chaitanya Bhagavat. But at the time of Kaviraj Goswami, this was still known as Chaitanya Mangal, hence this usage here. Performing Kirtan in this way, circumambulating through every nook and corner of the city, they finally reached the door of the Qazi. And now 40. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Murmuring in anger and making a roaring sound, the people under the protection of Lord Chaitanya became mad through such indulgence. Purport. The Qazi had issued an order not to perform Kirtan, congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. But when this was brought up to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he ordered civil disobedience to the Qazi's order. Lord Chaitanya and all his devotees, naturally enthusiastic although agitated, must have made a great noise with their loud cries. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksharon Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganda Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahaganda Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the most exciting pastime of the Lord's civil disobedience movement is being described in these verses by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. From text 131, which we read, Kaviraj Goswami describes that even though the devotees, that is not Sankirtan, the devotees were assured by the Lord that they should continue Sankirtan. But despite the Lord's assurance, even though they started the Sankirtan, they did feel some anxiety because they were worried about what the Chand Kazi would do. He was quite a strict person. He was actually the district magistrate of Nadia under the Nawab Hussein Shah, who was the ruler of Bengal. And under him there was a governor, and then each place has had a district magistrate. So Chand Kazi was the district magistrate of that area. He was the one who actually interpreted the Quran. So therefore the word Kazi, meaning like a priest. And he was also some kind of a guru for the king. So just like in the Vedic culture, the kings had brahmanas who would guide them. And when there was difficulty in taking some decision, because there were apparently two conflicting points of view, especially regarding dharma, regarding what a dharmic or an adharmic course of action would be, the brahmanas would be consulted. And then they would advise, well, it's like this, but in such and such case it was like that. In history we found this decision was taken in that circumstance, and overall, therefore, our opinion is that the king should do this, such and such. So this was the system. So similarly, the Muslim kings, it appears, would also have some kind of a system like that. So there were qazis, these priests, who would give them guidance. So in that sense, I think it is said that the Chand Kazi was like a spiritual master or a guru. He was quite a fierce man, and he was quite strict when it came to implementing certain rules. He was also in charge of law and order. There were landholders, and these landholders would take care of the revenue collection from people, and then eventually they would submit it, and it would come to the king, the Nawab Hussein Shah. But other matters of law and order were under the Qazi, the Chand Qazi. It was a title. He had some name, some Muslim name. There's some difference of opinion about what his name is. In any case, this was a title. So he had this title, Chand Qazi. So he ruled with an iron hand, so to speak. And as Srila Prabhupada explained in the purports, in some of the earlier purports, that the Hindu community there had been so suppressed that even though they performed their civil duties and their social functions somewhat continuing from before, but the religious activities, especially those performed in public, were hardly performed. So we don't see a description of public celebration of the festivals going on. So after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started the Sankirtan movement, this started happening publicly. And you would say in today's language, in your face kind of thing, where the devotees would go out and do Sankirtan. And this came to the notice of the Chand Kazi. So he became enraged. So he went up to them and said, on whose strength are you doing this now? So flagrantly violating the rules that I've laid down. This was never before done. How come you suddenly become so courageous that you have started doing this publicly and in large numbers like this? So he went to Shivas Thakur's home where the kirtan was going on. He was passing by actually one time and he heard this sankirtan going on loudly. So he stormed into that gathering and he took hold of one of the mridangas and smashed it to the ground. So the mridangas in Bengali are called khol. And this place, that particular place where Chand Kazi broke the mridanga, is called Khol Bhanga Danga. Bhanga means to where it was broken. So he broke it there, and then as we have seen in the previous verses, he threatened them that if any of you or anybody else in Navadvip dares to do this Sankirtan again, I will give you severe punishment. And not only that, I will ensure that I convert all of you into Muslims. So there was terror. And when the devotees went to Mahaprabhu, he also responded in some anger and said, don't worry, you just go ahead and chant. Even after Mahaprabhu's assurance, there was some fear because the Chand Kazi had such a reputation of being strict and being some kind of a tyrannical ruler under the Nawab Hussain Shah. And by the way, since we're on the topic, you know that all the associates of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu have their role in Krishna Leela. Do you know who Chand Kazi was in Krishna Leela? Anyone? Kamsa, yes, he was Kamsa in Krishna Leela. And what about Nawab Hussain Shah, the king of Bengal? Jarasandha, who said that? Jai. So Nawab Hussain Shah was Jarasandha, the king of Magadha. And we all know that pastime of how Krishna, Bhima and Arjuna went there. And then Bhima engaged in a duel with Jarasandha, eventually killed him after getting some good instruction from Krishna. Jarasandha also was the one who attacked Mathura 18 times. Was defeated 17 times, and on the 18th occasion, Krishna decided it was time to start the Dwarka Leela, so he departed from there, and that's why Krishna got the glorious name Ranchhod, one who runs away from the battlefield. So Nawab Hussain Shah was Jarasandha in Krishna Leela, Chand Kazi was Kamsa, and eventually these special pastimes indicate the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because these personalities appeared again in Gaur Leela. They wanted to get the nectar. Chand Kazi, of course, eventually became a devotee by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, and this episode, as it continues, will describe that also. And even today, the place of Lord Chand Kazi's Samadhi exists not too far from our ISKCON temple in Mayapur in the area that is today called Simanta Dweep. Again, very close to the Rajapur Lord Jagannath temple. How many of you have been to the Jagannath temple in Rajapur in Navadweep? Okay, so not far from that is Chand Kazi's Samadhi. Some of you may have gone there as well. And there is a tree there, Champa tree, which is said to be hollow, but it still blooms with flowers. So when a tree is hollow, you understand it's dead. But this tree still blooms with flowers. And his descendants still respect the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in any case, Chand Kazi also is not an ordinary person. Anyone who comes in contact with the Supreme Lord and engages with him, whether it's in debate or discussion, or even participates in the Sankirtan movement, etc., is to be understood to be a very special person. Chand Kazi also definitely was a recipient of the mercy of Mahaprabhu, as we will see in the later verses. So the devotees were still anxious somewhat, so they went back to Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu spoke as follows. In the evening I shall perform Sankirtan in each and every town, therefore you shall decorate the city in the evening. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that Navadvip at that time was composed of 9 small cities. So the words Nagare are significant. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to perform Kirtan in each of those neighboring towns. Therefore the word Navadvip, Nava means 9 and Dvip means island. So the whole Gauramandala, just like you have Vrajamandal for Vrajabhumi, which consists of all the forests of Vrindavan. How many forests, by the way, in Vrindavan? Vrajabhumi? 12 are the main forests. It's called Dvadashavana. 12, Dvadasha means 12. But the entire Vrajabhumi or the Vrajamandal is very large. It's much more than the 12 forests. Great devotees have identified as many as 137 forests, some big and some small. And the 12 forests are among the chief forests of Vrajamandal. So the entire Vrajabhumi is called Vrajamandal. Similarly, there is Gauramandal or Navadvip Mandal. So Gauramandal is quite a big place. And it has primarily these 9 dvipas or these 9 islands, each of which is like a lotus petal, 100-petal lotus. And overall, you could compare Gauramandal to a 9-petal lotus with 1 in the middle and 8 petals surrounding the central petal. So each of these has a name, Navadvip. And the central one is which one? Antardvip. Antar means inside. So the innermost central petal of the Navadvip Mandala is Antardvip. It is in Antardvip that we have Mayapur. And that is also where our ISKCON Mayapur Chandrodaya Mandir is located. That's also where we have the Yoga Peet. We have the Sri Chaitanya Mutt. We have the Srivas Angan. We have Advaita Bhavan. We have Gadadhar Angan. Yes, we have all these places. I'll talk briefly about it in a few moments. So that is Antardvip. And then we have the other 8 petals surrounding it in different directions. Now it is explained that each of these 9 petals represent one particular limb of the ninefold process of devotional service, the Navvidha Bhakti, or in short, the Navadha Bhakti, as enunciated by Prahlad Maharaj in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Antardvip, the innermost petal, represents Atmanivedanam, which means complete surrender to Krishna. And then you have in sequence, there is Simantadvip, which represents Shravanam, which I just mentioned, the place of Chand Kazi Samadhi. It is also the place of the Jagannath Temple. So that represents Shravanam. Godruma Dvipa represents, is Godruma Prabhu here? No. So he's a servant of that petal of Navadvip. That represents Kirtanam. And that has Bhaktivinod Thakur's house. I think many of you, probably every one of you who has been to Mayapur, must definitely have gone to this place, Godruma Dvip, where Surabhi Kunj, the place where Surabhi, Mother Surabhi appeared. Bhaktivinod Thakur lived there. He has his house there still. And also Narasimha Palli, the place where Lord Narasimhadev came after killing Hiranyakashipu, his hands were smeared with blood. Jai, Jai, Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nand ki Jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki Jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki Jai. So the Lord's hands were smeared with blood, and so he wanted to wash them. So he came to this lake, and he washed his hands there, and the lake became red. So it's Narasimha Palli. So that's Godruma Dvipa, which represents Kirtanam. Then Madhya Dvipa, which represents Smaranam, or remembering. And that is also a place where we have the Gauramandal Naimisharanya. Naimisharanya exists in near present-day Kanpur, where Suta Goswami spoke to the sages. So here in Naimisharanya, in Gauramandal, Suta Goswami spoke the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Not the Srimad Bhagavatam of Krishna Leela, but the Chaitanya Leela over here. These things have been described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then Koladvip is the next one, which represents Pada Sevanam. It has the Samadhi of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji. Then we have Ritu Dvip, which represents Archanam, or the worship of the deity. We have Jahanu Dvip, which represents Vandanam, prayers, which has the place associated with Bhishma Dev, Bhishma Tila. Moda Druma Dvip, which represents Dasyam, which has Vrindavan Das Thakur's birthplace, and also the residence of Vasudev Datta, the glorious devotee of the Lord, who was so dear to Mahaprabhu that Mahaprabhu said, he is my very life. I cannot live without Vasudev Datta. And he was very extravagant in spending for Krishna. So he would spend all his money and leave nothing for his family. So Mahaprabhu had to instruct Shivananda Sen to get Vasudev Datta's financial affairs managed properly. So he lived here in Moda Druma Dvipa. And finally we have the Rudra Dvip, which represents Sakya. This was the place where Nilambar Chakravarti, the maternal grandfather of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, stayed. Sachi Mata's father stayed here. So these are the nine islands. And in Antar Dvipa, of course, the innermost place, is the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born. So that's called the Yoga Peet. The Yoga Peet indicates the place of meeting, where the Lord meets with his eternal associates. It's also the place where the Lord is born. So in the Yoga Peet in Antar Dvip, there is a neem tree, and near the neem tree is a temple which has the deities of Jagannath Mishra, Shachi Mata, with baby Nimai Pandit. So that is the place of the birth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Also there, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had nearby in Yoga Peet, had installed deities of Gaur Gadadhar as well as of Lakshmi Narasimha. There is a Sri Chaitanya Mutt established by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he installed the deities of Gandharvika Giridhari. And I'm sure you've all, at least those of you who visited Mayapur, have been there. There are also two Shivalingas. One is called the Gopishwar Shiva, the other is the Kshetrapal Shiva. Just a replica of Vrindavan. You see, what's in Navadvip also mirrors what is in Vrindavan, Rajabhumi. So Gopishwar Shiva is the one who grants admittance or admission for devotees into the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. So one takes his blessings and his mercy before one goes into Vrindavan, into Navadvip. And then there's Kshetrapal Shiva, who actually protects the dham, just as we have in Vrajamandal. There's Ishodhyan, which is the place of Nandanacharya. What happened at Ishodhyan? Some significant event happened there. Who remembers? Yes, exactly. Mahaprabhu met with Nityananda Prabhu for the first time at Nandanacharya's house. So all these places are here at Antardweep, including in the Yogapitha and around. And Simantadweep is the place where Chand Kazi stayed. I described Samadhi briefly. And in Antardweep at Shivas Thakur's place, known as the Shivas Angan, this is actually the birthplace of the Sankirtan movement. This is the place of the Kol Bhanga Danga, where the Mridanga was broken. So this was here that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced day and night with his associates. And that is why the Brahmanas who were residing around Shivas Pandit started condemning Shivas Pandit, and Shivas Pandit became very unpopular. And many of the Brahmanas tried to defame him by keeping all sorts of prohibited substances like alcohol and meat and so on in front of his doorstep so that he would be defamed. And they would blame Nimai Pandit for that. It's because of this madman Nimai Pandit that all of these other Brahmanas here, who were otherwise quite sensible and sane, they've all become insane now. All day, all night, they simply chant Krishna, Krishna. It's probably because they're so hungry for lack of food that in their hunger they're chanting out Krishna, Krishna. So these pastimes went on in Shivas Thakur's home, the Shivas Angan, the birthplace of the Sankirtana movement. So in short, this was the nine islands of Navadvip on the bank of the Ganga. Different tributaries of the Ganga, they flow in different directions, specifically the Jalangi. So then Mahaprabhu told them to burn torchlights, and then they would all go with the torchlights in the evening time. So they would go around in Sankirtan. And it's interesting, Prabhupada mentions here in the purports that the three parties formed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, each of them had 21 people, 21 devotees, 4 mridanga players, 16 kartal players, and 1 singer. And all this without any sound system. They didn't have any electronic sound system. And you can imagine that they must have had pretty loud voices to be heard through 4 mridangas and 16 kartals. And they were enthusiastic devotees, so they must have been beating the drums and the kartals with quite some vigor. So this chanting is in 3 parties. And as Kaviraj Goswami mentioned, Haridas Thakur was leading the first party, and Advaita Acharya is leading the second party, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leading the third party. And these things, as Kaviraj Goswami says, have been described in great detail by Vrindavan Das Thakur in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And in this way, performing Sankirtan, Mahaprabhu led the devotees into every nook and corner of Navadvip. In all likelihood, with reference to the previous verses, they must have gone to all the 9 dvipas as well. With the torches, it must have been quite a sight and quite an experience. It's called a mashal. You see, you have these torches that are lit up, immersed in oil, and then you light it up and you hold it up like that. You had all these hundreds of torches, thousands of devotees, all chanting, dancing, singing, moving around. It must have been a tumultuous kirtan going on there. And they were also angry. And as they reached, they were making a roaring sound, kolahal, tarja garja kore loka kore kolahal. So murmuring in anger, they were also roaring. So this was the situation of Lord Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. So it's interesting that Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement actually picked up to such a degree that there was opposition. One of the signs of success is opposition. The more the opposition, the more we can understand there is success. And there was a lot of that in the early days in Srila Prabhupada's movement, as there was in Mahaprabhu's movement in Navadvip. His movement started, actually, the turning point came when he went to Gaya, ostensibly for the Shraddha ceremony in memory of his father and his departed ancestors. He went there with his students. At this time, he was a teacher of grammar, Sanskrit grammar and logic. And the students were very faithful to him, very devoted to him. They were mesmerized by his brilliance and his genius, and they would never leave. They would never leave, Nimai Pandit. They would always be with Nimai Pandit. Whatever he taught, they would hang on to every word that he said. So when he was in Gaya, a certain transformation came over him after the initiation from Ishwarapuri. And because of that, he developed this sense of separation from Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And then his students were perplexed to see this transformation in him. And at that night, when they were all sleeping, he just got up and he started walking out, even as the students were still asleep. And he was chanting and saying, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" And he started moving in the direction of Vrindavan, or what he thought was Vrindavan. And suddenly there was a voice in the sky and said, "My dear Lord, please do not go to Vrindavan now. This is not the time for you to go to Vrindavan. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are your dear servants. You have a mission to accomplish. So you have many, many people to deliver. So please restrain yourself at this moment." Then Mahaprabhu became very happy to be reminded of the mission he had come here for, which is to propagate the congregational chanting of the holy names and to spread pure love of Godhead everywhere. So he came back to the room. But his pupils were still bewildered, because he would only talk about Krishna, and he exhibited such a mood of separation from Krishna that when they finally reached Navadvip, Mayapur, and they got a rousing welcome, and everybody was there, the youngsters, the elders, and Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, as he was still known at that time, he related to them in such a humble way, such a gentle way, that everyone's heart was overflowing with affection for him. To the elders, he bowed down. They embraced him, touched his head to offer blessings. To his friends, he embraced them. And in this way, he got a rousing welcome. But then the people of Navadvip noticed this striking change. He was always speaking about Krishna now. And all the devotees were very, very happy to see this. In Shivas Thakur's home, there was a tree, a tree of jasmine flowers. And devotees would come there every day to pluck flowers to offer to Krishna. And this tree was remarkable because it was always giving flowers, even though they picked all the flowers, but still there were more flowers that came up. So the devotees would meet there every day. So this time Sriman Pandit was with the others. He said he was looking blissful. So the other devotees asked him, "What's happened? Why are you looking so blissful?" He said, "Don't you know? Nimai Pandit has become such a devotee. I cannot describe. He's all the time expressing his internal feelings of separation from Krishna." And all the devotees were struck with wonder, and they would come together with Nimai and experience great ecstasy. All the time Nimai was simply saying, "Show me where is Krishna." He would go up to each of the devotees and say, tell me, where is Krishna, the Lord of my heart?" He would go to somebody else and embrace him and say, "Where has that Krishna gone?" And in this way, the devotees were swooning in waves of devotional ecstasy. Time passed. Nimai Pandit was still a teacher of grammar. But now, when he started teaching, there was a change. Earlier, he used to teach all the rules of Sanskrit grammar and analyze all the words and everything. But now, all he could do was simply analyze everything in terms of Krishna. He would say the beginning, the middle, and the end of all grammar and every word is Krishna. In every verbal root, the students asked him, please tell us about some dhatus. Dhatu means the verbal root. So please tell us about the verbal roots. He said, the meaning of verbal root, the dhatu is the energy of Krishna. Just as when the energy leaves the body, one becomes dead. So similarly, if we lose the energy of Krishna in our life, we die. Krishna is the life and soul of every living entity. So for any question that was asked or any topic related to grammar that he was teaching, he would launch into a very detailed explanation of Krishna consciousness. He would connect everything to Krishna. The students couldn't quite get it. They were hearing, they were mesmerized by him anyway, so they would just sit and listen to him. But they couldn't quite hear anything about grammar. So finally they went to Gangadas Pandit, who was the teacher of Nimai Pandit. He was also a great devotee, of course. So he called Nimai one day and said, Nimai, you know, we're all devotees of Krishna. So are your parents. But being a devotee doesn't mean you have to be illiterate. It doesn't mean you shouldn't know how to read and write. So you can be a devotee, certainly. I'm very happy that you're such a nice devotee of Krishna. But at the same time, you must do your duty of teaching these boys how to read and write. They must know basic rules of grammar. Otherwise, how will they be able to study the Shastra? How will they be able to have that vivek, that discrimination, to distinguish between the temporary and the eternal, between the false and the real? They must have some knowledge. So please teach them grammar as well and logic also. So Mahaprabhu said, you know, I'm at your service, O my master. I will follow your instructions. It is only by your mercy that I will teach grammar to everyone. And then he came back to his original audacious, impudent Nimai Pandit as the scholar of grammar who would challenge everyone and defeat everyone in debate. And then he went out into the streets of Navadvip and he sat with his pupils and he announced, you know, these so-called scholars in Navadvip, they do not even know the ordinary rules of Sandhya. Sandhya means, you know, the conjunctions and everything. And they claim, someone says I'm Mishra, someone says I'm Acharya, someone says I'm Bhattacharya. Let these so-called Bhattacharyas come in front of me. Let them argue with me and I'll teach them what real grammar is. And all the other Bhattacharyas and Mishras and Upadhyayas, they trembled in fear because they knew that they couldn't come and argue and debate with Nimai Pandit. And Gangadas Pandit was pleased that at least he was now back to his normal self. But even in his impudence, there was a certain kind of charm about him. And everybody, even those he defeated, would love him. He would never actually crush their egos. He did it in such a nice way that they would all feel happy to be defeated by Nimai Pandit. The art of debating and the art of defeating others was demonstrated by Mahaprabhu. So anyway, he continued, but you know, the devotion was so deep in him, he couldn't continue for long. So spontaneously, he started speaking about Krishna all the time. And then 10 days elapsed. And the pupil said, you know, we are very happy to hear about Krishna, but for 10 days we haven't heard any rules of grammar from you. He said, oh really? 10 days without any studies? So tell me, what have I been teaching you? All you've been teaching is Krishna, 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 all the time about Krishna, from this angle, from that angle. Any rule of Kalapa grammar or Panini grammar, you've just been speaking about Krishna. Oh my God, what have I done? So what used to happen to me when I was teaching? Yeah, you used to go into ecstasy, transcendental ecstasy, like what? Oh, your hair stood on end and then tears rolled from your eyes and you used to tremble. Oh really, I used to do all of that. Oh, I'm really sorry. My heartfelt apologies, but what to do? I'm incapable of teaching grammar. So from today, I'm going to give up teaching grammar. So he wrapped up his books, the manuscripts, put them in the cloth, tied them up, and said, please go and find another teacher. There are so many nice teachers here in Navadvip. I'm incapable of teaching you. So the pupils were so attached to him that they all began crying. And they said, we can't leave you. Whatever you do, if you give up studies, we're going to give up studies as well. What do we care for all this grammar? So we want to be with you. So then Nimai told them, okay, you should always remember Krishna. You should chant Krishna's names. Chant Krishna's names. So the boy said, you know, we don't know how to chant Krishna's name. How do you do that? He said, come, I'll teach you. And this was the beginning of the Sankirtan movement. And he started, Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hari Haraya Namaha Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana. Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this was the beginning of the Sankirtan movement. And then this picked up, the Kirtan picked up, and the sound increased and increased. And finally everyone outside of Navadvip could hear this sound. What's going on there? And they all came running, and the word spread like wildfire. Facebook, Twitter, everyone was, Nimai Pandit has started the Sankirtan movement. OMG, come on, let's go. And everyone rushed there. And the news was sent to Advaita Acharya. Sankirtan movement has been started by Nimai Pandit. And Advaita Acharya then recounted his dreams and his experiences of how one time he dreamed about Nimai Pandit actually being the Supreme Lord Krishna himself. So all the devotees were overjoyed, and they all came there. And they started participating, and from that day on, there was no looking back. And then he came to the house of Srivas Pandit. And that was where the Sankirtan movement actually then took roots. Every day, Nimai Pandit, as he was still called at that time, gathered with his devotees there and did Sankirtan. So Srivas Pandit is the representative of the pure devotee. So that is why this house was chosen. Actually, Srivas Thakur's Angan, or his home and his courtyard, where the Sankirtan pastimes actually took birth and took roots, they are considered the Rasasthali of Navadvip. Rasasthali meaning the place of the Rasalila pastimes. In Vrindavan, you have the Rasasthali, the place where Krishna did the Rasalila with the gopis. So just as Krishna danced with the gopis in Vrindavan, in Navadvip, in Mayapur, he danced with his associates. So the place where he danced was Shiva's Thakur's Angan. So Shiva's Thakur's Angan is also called the Rasasthali of Navadvip. And it's an appropriate place because in the Panchatattva, Shiva's Thakur represents the pure devotee. Who is Shiva's Thakur an incarnation of? Narad Muni, who is always going with his Veena. Narad Muni Bhajai Veena Radhika Ramana Name. He's always chanting the names of Krishna. So Narad Muni already has a musical role to play. He goes everywhere chanting, doing Sankirtan. So Shiva's Thakur is the appropriate person in whose house this Sankirtan movement actually took birth and then grew. So this is our heritage. The Sankirtan movement began here. So when we go out in Harinam Sankirtan, we should remember this pastime of how Mahaprabhu actually started the Sankirtan movement. And then it went on and on, and the Qazi didn't know what was coming. He stopped the Sankirtan movement, and eventually he got the unlimited mercy of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? We'll leave some time for discussion.